It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
At least 30 seconds notice. We're on Insight. Jack Stogler, Rocker's in studio. Hello, Rocker.
Hey.
And in studio, we have with us Mercer County Sheriff Jeff Gray, Mercer County Auditor Randy Grappner. Probably not two of the best looking guests I've ever had, but at least two of the most informed and intelligent when it comes to county stuff. Safe to say?
We'll take that.
Okay.
It's fine. But I'm sitting here with two other good-looking bald guys.
Yeah. There you go. So.
There you go. That's not me. I have hair.
Somehow I'm not getting your... Oh, there we go. I think I have it now. Yep, I have it now. I have you now.
You blocked me?
Well, not on purpose, but yes.
Got blocked. So... We have a couple of things to talk about. One, of course, is the levy, and then we thought we'd touch a little bit on the recent Homeland Security thing that occurred yesterday, maybe?
Yesterday yeah. morning.
Yeah. Before we do, let's do a brief getting to know you type thing, okay? Randy, you've been Mercer County Auditor for how long?
It'll be 12 years coming up in March.
Really?
So, 3 terms so far, and I'm on the ballot again this year.
And are you opposed?
Nope. No opposition. That's one of the two best ways to run for office.
That's
what's the other best way?
Scared.
Oh. Yeah. So, scared. As long as you vote for yourself, you're in.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Yep. That's what it takes.
So you're completing your third term.
Mm-hmm.
Before you were the county auditor, what did you do?
I was a real estate appraiser. I had a little company I called RE Appraisal Company and did a lot of real estate appraisal in Mercer, Auglaize, Shelby, and Allen counties. Before that, back in the 90s, we were all over. I had other fellows that worked with me, and we were appraising stuff from Cincinnati to Cleveland and this half of Ohio. So that's one of the main reasons that I ran for the auditor's job, because yeah. I felt I could bring the assessor side. I had some background there.
That prepared you pretty well for this gig.
I had no idea. I have a lot of different departments there. The budgetary, payroll, weights and measures. You see my little red
stuff? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. The IT department. We have a tax map department. And we have the real estate department. And, boy, I have had a wonderful education for the past 12 years, and thanks to Mercer County voters.
Fantastic. So how many people fall under your guidance as the auditor?
In my departments, I have 12 employees.
Okay.
Awesome. Nothing nearly like the sheriff.
Like this guy's got.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of this guy, welcome back, Sheriff Gray.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're certainly no stranger to FR Radio.
Nope, I've been on here a couple of times.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, Jack. He was Bill's very first guest on our very first Insight show that we did out at the bowling alley.
No kidding.
Almost 8 years ago. Yep.
Scared me to death then, and that was the first question I asked tonight. Bill's not going to be
Bill
here.
Bill isn't going to be here, is he?
So, Bill, if you're listening, stay home.
Yeah.
He has a way of just putting people on edge.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
So are you also running for re-election?
Now, I am in my second year of my sixth term.
Second year of your sixth four-year term?
My sixth four-year term. I've been sheriff. At the end of this year, I've been sheriff for 22 years.
Holy crap. Now, most guys that have been sheriff for that long are old.
That's true. I don't know how I stayed so young.
Well, I tell you what, in order to keep a job 22 years or 12 years, you have to be doing something right. So I think that says a lot about the confidence that the voters have in you guys.
Well, I just have to say one thing since I'm in Fort Recovery. I said it the other night when we talked to the community club. The big thing I remember, because I was chief here before I became sheriff, I'm sheriff because of the people of Fort Recovery and their votes that came in that night. They're the ones who put me over the top, and I will never forget that. So I appreciate Fort Recovery a whole lot.
Fantastic. And you know what? Even though it's probably not part of your jurisdiction, before we leave, let's talk about the intersection of 127 and 119 too.
Well, actually, we're pulling stats up for that. I assigned that this morning because I think, now I want to look at the numbers, but I think that's the highest crash intersection in the county right now.
Yeah, and especially if you count the one that was just south of there,
right,
a couple of months ago.
Right. That one, that was a fatal accident, but it wasn't intersection related.
Right.
Still, but right in that area. Yeah. And so I'm going to try to put some stuff together with ODOT, see if we can get them to take a look at it and see what we can do. A traffic light isn't always the answer. Sometimes right. With traffic lights, you know, people try to hurry through when it's yellow or
yep,
whatever.
Sure.
We have crashes, but we need to take a look at that and go, what can we do to make that intersection safer?
Yeah. Roundabout.
You know, that's something that has been discussed with people. My problem with a roundabout is I always drive slow through them because I get confused where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
But I guess that keeps me from hitting anybody.
Yeah, and if you do, it's 15 miles an hour.
Right. Well, that's true, too.
That's part of the reason they do it.
Right.
Now, if they do decide to do that, make sure they do it a little bit bigger than the one at 36 and 121 south of Greenville. The semis that go through there, they put a nice little brick walking path around the middle. They have to go across that. They can't. The semis can't get around there without going across that. They didn't make it big enough. It's crazy.
Really?
But, you know, it's only a curb that's maybe an inch, and it's no big deal for the semis, but those little paver bricks aren't going
to
last very long with semis always going over them. Every single semi-trailer has to go over that.
Right.
It's crazy. Anyway, sorry.
So we are studying that intersection and trying to figure out what the next step. And, of course, I don't get to decide what they do. That's an ODOT thing.
It's an ODOT
thing. But I can at least direct ODOT's attention to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it just seems like for a long time, you know, like 49 and 707. Yeah, it was a hot spot. And then 33 and 127.
Right.
You know, and that's got to stop.
And that's got a light.
You know.
At 707 and 49, they put up a flashing
stop
sign.
Yeah.
And that helps draw people's attention to the stop signs. But some of the crashes that we're having, like at 127 and 119.
People stop.
Like they stop. And then, for whatever reason, pull out into the path of another vehicle.
Yeah, and
I'm trying to think, okay, how do we fix that?
There isn't really
a traffic light probably would have fixed that. If they stopped for a red light, they wouldn't have went till it was green.
Yeah.
So that might have helped an accident.
But there really isn't anything blocking your view from any direction from east or the west side of that. They're
correct.
Just, yeah. And 118 and 707 south of... Had several there for a while. You know, it just seems to go in stretches that this area gets them, and that doesn't really make sense. But
sometimes we don't have a good explanation for why crashes are happening where they're happening.
Yep.
Yeah. And, so in November, there is a levy on the ballot, correct?
Correct.
And let's just kind of briefly. Okay, so let's let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about what's the money for, what's it going to cost us, et cetera, et cetera. Okay?
Okay.
So we'll be back right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. It has been said time and time again, you get what you pay for. In the case of Simplicity Lawn and Garden Tractors, you get even more. Exclusive features like free-floating mower decks for a perfectly manicured cut, full-width rollers for a beautifully striped lawn, suspension comfort system for a smooth ride, and automatic control traction for the best traction system in industry. So do you want to settle for getting what you pay for or getting more? Visit K&L Tractor Sales to see the exclusive features of a Simplicity.
Trader Days is coming up this Thursday through Sunday at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road. Weekend wristbands are just $5 each. Stop out and see old friends and make some new friends. Don't miss this big annual event with vendors selling everything from coon dogs to collectibles to guns and knives to beef jerky and cheese and just about anything else you can think of. You'll need to come in from the south off Watkins Road and turn onto St. Peter Road. There's plenty of parking, and food will be available on the grounds, including their famous barbecue chicken dinners on Saturday starting at 4. Don't miss Trader Days this Thursday through Sunday at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stalker with Sheriff Gray and Auditor Randy Grapner.
Oh, it's Grapner, but if you can call me whatever you'd like.
Very good.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. Well, I know it used to be Grapner Shoe Store.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was your family, right?
That was my family.
Pretty sure that was correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We closed in 1989. So the fact that you remember that, you're a little bit older.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am.
So, okay. So there is a levy on the ballot, correct?
Correct.
When? Okay, so when's election day?
November the 8th.
Okay. And this levy is... So is this part of a continuing levy?
Right. It is a continuing sales tax. So if it passes, it doesn't cost you anymore. You're paying exactly what you're paying now. So it's exactly what you're paying now. And the election day is November the 8th. Early voting starts on October 11th, I believe.
And the size of this income tax is what?
It's a sales tax.
Okay.
It's the size of this. It's a 0.5%.
Okay. So this sales tax was originally approved when?
2007.
Okay. So it's 15 years old.
Correct. And it was put on for 15 years. So it will, this tax or this, levy expires at the end of March of 2023. So March next year, this stops. And if this sales tax passes, it's coming up, then that will start on April the 1st. Both of them are 0.5%. It's not an additional 0.5%. It's paying the exact same thing you're paying now. And what it equals is if you go buy $100 worth of taxable stuff, say, at Calps here in Fort Recovery, that $100 worth of taxable stuff, this will cost you an extra 50 cents.
Yep.
And I said an extra 50 cents, but it's 50 cents that you're paying now. It'll be continuing to pay that 50 cents.
Okay, so when this was originally passed in 2007, it was built for the purpose of building the new jail, correct?
It was for the purpose of building the new jail, for furnishing the new jail, for maintaining the new jail, and for the additional operating costs. So there was, we knew going into it, there would be additional operating costs, because obviously the new building's a lot bigger, got a lot more stuff in it, costs more money to run the new building than it did the old building we had uptown in Salina.
Yep. And so since, you know, as like I think about the changes in the county and in the challenges that you read in the paper, you hear on the radio that faces the sheriff's department now, that probably wasn't as big of a deal back in 2007. It just seems like, whether you're talking about drug activity or gun activity, that there's just a lot more stuff that goes on now that involves the sheriff's department than you would have gone through 15 years ago.
Right, and you have to keep in mind that the jail, while it's part of the sheriff's office, it services every police agency in the county. When Chief Louts has to arrest somebody in Fort Recovery, they go to the county jail. And that 0.5% is going to help pay to keep that prisoner that was arrested by Fort Recovery Police Department and went to the county jail. And when you talk about the types of inmates, what we're running right now, 39%, almost 40% of the people that are in the jail is either a sex offense, a drug offense, or a felony DUI. Now, a felony DUI isn't the guy that went to his friend's wedding, had a little too much to drink one night, and got arrested. To catch a felony DUI, it has to be your fourth conviction. Wow. And that's fourth conviction for driving under the influence. If you got arrested and got it reduced to reckless op, that one doesn't count. Wow. So, you know, somebody that's drinking that much and driving, you want off the road because they're going to hurt somebody or kill somebody or hurt themselves. And that's about 40% of the people in jail are those kind of people. And then, you know, we have a lot of domestic violence issues.
Is that more prevalent now because more people feel comfortable reporting it, or is it happening more? Or do you have an idea?
I don't know for sure. I think it's a combination of both. I think people are a little bit freer to report being victims of a sex crime. And I also think the internet exposes people to mm-hmm. so many things. I mean, the internet makes it almost, if you're going to the wrong websites, it almost makes it normal for some
yes.
people.
Yeah. Normalizing bad behavior
right.
is a new thing.
Right.
It just is. That's crazy.
So, originally, okay, when this levy was passed, what did 0.5% sales tax generate?
I'm going to turn that over to the money guy.
In 2008, I've got numbers going back to 2008, for the sheriff, that generated $1,047,000. In 2008. And currently, it's collecting $3.5
million. So, the same percentage, just the purchases of things in the county that are taxable have gone up.
Correct.
Triple.
Yes.
Yeah. And inflation has some to do with that, but.
Yes.
But new businesses that bring in more
sure.
In-county and out-of-county people to buy things is probably
right. The other thing with was sales tax that I like. What I heard in 2007 and what I hear sometimes now is make sure it's a fair tax. The people that make more money should pay more, while the people that make more money spend more.
Yes.
So they do pay more mm-hmm. than the person that doesn't make as mm-hmm. much is paying less. So, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of spreads it out a little bit.
Yeah, and food, groceries.
And food's not taxable.
Right. That sales tax is not on food that everybody needs, so they eliminate that, and they're starting to eliminate some of the paper products and things like that.
Let me throw this in.
Yep.
Sales tax, unlike real estate tax. Real estate taxes are paid by people in Mercer County that own real estate.
Yeah.
Sales tax is paid by everybody that buys something here. So if Portland is coming over to shop in Fort Recovery, mm-hmm. And it's taxable, they're helping to support his jail.
Yeah.
So, again.
And people that come visit the lake.
Correct.
That are from out of the county.
The tourism there yep. is a big deal. I have a chart here of all counties in Ohio and what their sales tax rates are.
Mm-hmm.
We are included in the blue areas.
Yep, which is looks and that's, area-wise probably 80% of the state.
Well, it's 53 out of 88 counties that yeah. are being taxed at a 7.25%. Some of them are bigger than that. Most of the large metro areas have rapid transit and
yeah.
and public transportation and so forth. They can collect a little bit more. But we, all of the counties around us basically are at 7.25%,
yep.
Which is not unusual.
Okay? Right, absolutely.
So on the $100 purchase, 50 cents is going toward supporting the jail.
Yep. So the $3.5 million that this currently generates, that represents what part of your budget?
Well, what we've figured, the budget of the jail is split between the sheriff's office and the county commissioners for maintenance. And county commissioners do the maintenance and stuff of the building. But over the next 10 years, we've projected that the jail's going to cost, commissioner's cost and my cost, $5.2 million. And go ahead.
So is that, so when you say,
year.
When you say the jail is going to cost that much, that means that's your general budget for the next number of years?
Per year.
Okay.
For the next number of years. Is $5.2 million. And then almost $3.9 million, almost $4 million, is employees' wages and benefits.
Sure.
I mean, it's one of those things of, you know, law enforcement, jails, that stuff is a very labor-intensive job. I mean,
well, it's like schools
takes
people. To a
right.
certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the actual operation of the jail and the things that we pay for in the jail doesn't compare to employee costs. And keep an employee safe, too. I mean, I think sometimes people forget the jail. I mean, a lot of times we got bad guys in there.
No.
So we have to, our employees have to be equipped to remain safe. You know, while they're in there working, and we have to have enough employees in there to maintain safety. I mean,
right, to make that happen.
The housing units, you know, hold 24 inmates in each housing unit, and corrections officers are walking in those housing units with the prisoners.
Yeah. there's no capital improvements planned with this money, correct?
Yes, there is. It's that when we built the jail, the roof had a 20-year warranty on it. And, of course, we're in year 15,
yep.
so that's going to need replaced in the next several years. HVAC systems last 15 to 18 years. There's five different air handling systems in that building. We're in year 15, so
yep.
15 to 18 years, you know, there's expenses there. But yeah, the $5.2 million includes maintaining the building, keeping things up, and doing things going forward to try to keep it a good, viable building and in good condition.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back to talk a little bit more about the upcoming levy and some of the details of it. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Part of our under 100-horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, you can run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. The Kubota B-Series. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will travel to St. Henry to take on the Lady Redskins. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of the match, and the NFHS video will be available. Friday, the boys will travel to Marion Local in a big MAC football matchup. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the game with the pregame show starting at 6:40. The NFHS video will be available for the game. On Saturday, the Lady Indians will play in the Crestview Invitational, and we'll cover as many of those matches as we can. The Lady Indians' first match will be against Decatur Belmont and is scheduled for around 10 a.m. This will be a double elimination tournament played in two different gyms, and we'll broadcast as many of the matches as we can on Saturday. Get out and support our Indians teams this week, but if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight. Talking Sheriff Jeff Gray and Auditor Randy Grapner's tax levy. And I think it's safe to say that this is a personal levy for you two, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, affects, maybe not quite that way.
It certainly affects our general fund.
Well, so, let's just talk about that. Because, as I'm thinking, okay, so this represents like about 60% or more of Sheriff Gray's total budget for the sheriff's office.
The jail is the largest division of the sheriff's office. There's more employees that work in the jail than any other division of the sheriff's office. And actually, the jail is the largest employer of county government. No other county government. Randy was explaining, he's got budgetary and tax mapping and all that stuff in his department. So he's got several departments too. But even when you combine all of them, they're not as big as the jail. I put my detective bureau and my patrol division together, there's more employees in the jail. There's more employees in the jail than there is in our civil division or dispatch or court services division.
Wow. So we were talking, okay, so this levy generates about $3.5 million, I think, correct?
That's what currently is projected this year.
And the total county budget is around 16 million?
Just about 16 million when you add all of the moving parts. Yeah, our general fund is about 16 million.
So, okay, so this represents about 20 to 22%
correct
of the total funds for the county.
Okay. To operate these departments in the general fund departments, yes.
And okay, so the role of the county commissioners.
Yes.
Okay. Because I've always heard that the county commissioners were somewhat the guys that were in charge of the purse strings. Mm-hmm. True?
Yep.
So they are responsible for deciding what portion of that budget Sheriff Gray gets.
Exactly.
Okay.
For all of us. Any of the elected officials and the general fund offices take part in the general fund. So it's the obligation of the county commissioners to make sure that he has the funds available to operate his offices.
And also operate your offices.
Correct.
And
that's right.
Probably Board of Elections and several other ones.
Yep. Yeah. The treasurer, the recorder, the clerk of courts, the courts.
Yep.
There are other outside funds and moving parts in there, but the general fund is helping to the prosecuting attorney, and we have other departments. The commissioners have their own departments. So it's I can say after reviewing these budgets, his budget in particularly, we have oversight built into the entire general fund. So the commissioners would take a look at his budget and approve that budget, or not. Maybe they would ask him to make some cuts or something of that nature. He has a little bit of flexibility because he has an outside fund, but that's not bringing in a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
That's the jail and the revenue created by out of area inmates. But the commissioners approve that budget. If he wants to spend anything more than $1,000, that's the policy in Mercer County. If I want to spend more than $1,000 on something, the commissioners would have to approve that prior to us purchasing that item.
That's a pain in the ass, ain't it?
Well, so that's the way it is.
Yeah, actually, and especially now that $1,000 doesn't buy you anything.
Right. Yeah.
Well, but don't you want to make sure that we are responsible?
Absolutely.
So,
yep. But I don't want to slow you down when you have to.
Right. We have stuff. Those checks and balances.
Yes.
And in the event that there's something that's impending, we will go as quickly as we can by law. All of us, all of the electeds are governed by the Ohio Revised Code. So as we move forward through this, his budget's approved by the commissioners. They approve all of his purchasing. That's not where it stops. We also have a budget commission. The treasurer, the auditor, and prosecuting attorney all sit on the budget commission. We review these budgets. We are looking at all the nooks and crannies. He doesn't have any slush funds anyplace.
Yeah.
We have to live off of what the taxpayers give us. We have to be good stewards of your tax dollars. And we have to make sure that we are using these tax dollars for proper public purposes. Those are the three P's.
So I'm going to test you here, Randy.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so out of the $16 million budget, we have $3.5 million that comes from the sales tax.
Correct.
Okay. Where does the rest of it come from?
General fund.
Which is generated from where?
All resources. So we have a main contributor to our revenue stream is the county's 1% sales tax, as well as real estate taxes. And if I don't know if you've ever been on my website for the real estate parcel search. We have several different buttons in there. You can whack around, go find your own house. Click on that. You can either go to a map, or you can pull up your property record card, or you might want to go take a look at your tax schedule. And there's a there is another tax chart there that will show you a pie chart of all the taxes that you're paying for your house. And
where that money goes to?
Yes, kind of? Exactly right. So who gets school the
district?
Most, yes.
Okay.
The school district gets the major portion of real estate taxes. The county gets some. The local governments get some. The townships. So this just helps operate all the services that elected officials in Mercer County provide.
So I'm going to do like really mm-hmm. quick math here. So if I take the 3.5 that's generated by this current levy, and then you talked about the 1% county sales tax, which must generate about $7 million.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're up to just shy of 11. So the other 5 million basically consists of real estate taxes. Are there some sort of corporate taxes that might be included, like business type taxes that are included in that? No,
there is no income. We don't do income taxes. We are really duty bound to the real estate taxes.
Okay.
And then the sales tax. Corporations can levy an income tax or something of that nature, but we can't.
Okay.
Just different rules for all the different governmental sure. bodies. The municipalities can have an income tax.
So as like, I think of this thing. Okay, so if I'm a county commissioner and I've got a $60 million budget and all of a sudden $3.5 million of it is no longer there and the services that are required and needed doesn't change, you know, what in the hell am I supposed to do?
You must have been studying for this evening. That's some of the same questions that we're asking, and that's yeah. quite frankly why we're here.
Everybody gets cut.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
He can't just cut $3.5 million. He's got $4 million in payroll. So he can't just lose $3.5 million and we pat him on the back and say, good luck with your cuts here. No, this will come to every capital fund or general fund office in Mercer County. We're all going to be faced with cuts.
Highway department?
Everybody.
So the highway department wouldn't be able to fix as many roads?
Well, the highway is state.
Well, but county roads.
County yeah. roads. Yeah. The engineer has some outside funds that he uses to fund his office. But everybody, all general fund offices, are going to have to find a way to cut. And quite frankly, for looking at years prior, we're all very frugal. I pay tribute to our general fund offices constantly because they are good stewards of taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the general feel, at least around here that I know of, is that people are very satisfied with the way our county government is run. And they don't think there's a lot of waste. They don't think that anybody's trying to pull anything. I think everybody's very happy. They'd love to have more services but don't want to pay more money. But this is not more money. It's the same amount of money to keep those services going. And if this doesn't pass and some of that money has to be made up with money from other departments, everything's going to suffer.
We don't
want to go backwards.
That's true. And the other thing, it's nice to hear that you're out in the community and you hear that people think that county government runs well and does good. So I like hearing that. But the other thing that sometimes I think I don't promote enough or people don't realize, that the jail is how we operate. The jail is mandated by the state. I mean, the state actually gives me a formula. And based on the number of beds I have is how many employees I have to have. And so the state controls the jail.
Do they suggest how many you have or they mandate? It's mandated that you have to have. If you have 85 inmates, you have to have this many
if I have 85 beds.
Oh, yeah,
they don't have to be filled. The state looks at it and says, well, even though you're not full now, tonight a lot of people could get arrested and you could be full, so you have to be prepared to do it. And so they mandate it. We just had our jail inspection 2 weeks ago. Jody Lange, my chief deputy over the jail, does a fabulous job, got 100%. But they come in every year. They look at our policies and procedures for the jail. They look at medical records for the inmates. They look at everything we do. And if we fail in certain areas, they can shut us down. My point being, my first money that comes, if the commissioners go, we have to cut, my first cuts don't come from the jail because the state tells me what I have to do. Where the cuts come from is the black cars with the gold stars on the door, our investigation section, because under the law, the sheriff is allowed to do that. I'm the top cop in the county, and I'm allowed to do that, but I'm not mandated to do that. That's actually a function of municipalities and townships. That's why when you go to the large counties, you hear like Miami Township Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our townships in a county our size can't afford to run a police department.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like down here. People in Fort Recovery pay for the services of the sheriff's office. Now, you have your own police department, but, you know, you've got – when you're a full staff, you have three guys on, so that's 120 hours a week that you guys are covering. Well, there's 167 hours in –
Yeah.
In a week. So we're covering the rest of it. And when you're short staffed or somebody's sick, we're covering that. And so if I have to cut my patrol division, you're going to feel it when you're out in the county. You're also going to feel it. We're still going to send people. It's not like we're going to go, we're mad, we're not sending anybody. We're still going to send people, but response times are going to be worse. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take us long to get here because we're not going to have as many people.
And what they normally be patrolling won't be patrolled. You'll have to pull somebody from. Yeah, that's we don't want less service.
And that's what we're trying to get out. People have a choice to make. You can continue to pay exactly what you're paying. It's not going to cost you any more than what you're paying now, and maintain the services for the next 10 years. This levy's for 10 years. The last one was for 15. This is only for 10. You can maintain those services. It's not a tax increase. It doesn't cost you any more. We're not raising. We'll raise a little bit extra money, as like you said earlier, inflation and stuff goes up, and it's a percentage. But if it goes down, you're going to save 50 cents on $100. But people that need emergency law enforcement services are probably going to feel it.
Let me jump in here quickly. One other thought occurs to me. In 2009, our revenues and sales tax revenues declined. Sales tax is a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, 2009 was a recessionary year. We haven't seen a decline in sales tax revenue loss at this point, but it's very, very likely that it might. So we can't just say, well, gee whiz, you know, the track record here on sales tax receipts has just been increasing like crazy. Well, there's a good chance it's going to go the other way as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, someday it will. There's always a recession coming sometime, and I think we've been past it for a while.
Yeah,
you know, a little overdue. But even if it doesn't happen, you need to know that there's one. If it doesn't happen in the next 10 years, there's going to be one coming, because there always is.
Let me throw this in while it's still on my mind. I've got a couple of extra notes here, and the original levy that we had 15 years ago was also talking about construction of the jail, but the rest of the debt service, the debt to build the jail, all the furnishings, all the operating costs was included. This time we didn't quote renew this levy because it's changed. And what we're asking for this time, the purpose of providing revenue for the operation and maintenance of the detention facility for a period of 10 years. It's not the same as it was 15 years ago. 10 years from now, we'll have the opportunity to vote on this again.
Mm-hmm. So it won't show up on the ballot as a renewal levy?
It's a proposed sales tax levy. So the misconception that's been out in the marketplace is that it's new, which it is. But it's a continuation of what we've had as far as the 0.5, the 0.5% sales tax.
Yep.
This is the same 0.5% sales tax, but it's for a different purpose, and that's operating and maintaining.
Sure.
The different purpose is we're not paying for the building, it's paid for.
Yeah. Sure.
Everything else that's in it was in it before.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and touch on the Homeland Security issue, and then we'll make sure that we get the levy tied up in a nice, neat bow before we head off.
Before we head off to Rockerville.
There you go.
Yep.
So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. ForRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
With the weather getting cooler, we start thinking about making a big batch of chili, and Wayne Street Market has everything you'll need for your secret recipe. A large selection of seasonings, beans, tomato juice, and tomato soup, fresh and canned tomatoes, shredded cheese, crackers, and of course the ground chuck. And it's a good idea to order your holiday party trays now so they can avoid supply chain issues and have everything you need when it's party time in a few weeks. And you want to make them your first stop every morning with one of their many varieties of coffee and some of their fresh pastries. And if you're looking for a great meal in a hurry, stop into Wayne Street Market, where they always have good hot meals ready to go every day back in their deli. Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Public Library is presenting another Unlock the Box adventure named Forget the Field Trip. See if your group can use the clues to help forget the field trip. This event will be happening at the library on Friday, September 30th, Saturday, October 1st, Monday, October 3rd, and Tuesday, October 4th during regular library hours. This activity is recommended for groups of 4 to 6 people, age 8 and older, and pre-registration is required. You can register for your team's 45-minute session by calling the library at 419-375-2869. Get your team together and get registered at the library to see if your team can solve the puzzles to help forget the field trip. Game dates are Friday through Tuesday, September 30th through October 4th, during regular library hours, and pre-registration is required. So stop in or call the library at 375-2869 to sign up for your 45-minute session and have some fun with your friends by playing Unlock the Box. The Unlock the Box game at the library, Friday, September 30th through Tuesday, October 4th, during regular library hours. Be sure to call or stop in the library soon to pre-register.
Sure where my left hand has been, but...
Give me just a few more seconds.
Okay, Jackie. Want me to sing a little bit while you're grabbing the meat and cheese tray?
No. Hey, we're back. Insight. Talking to Sheriff Jeff Gray, County Auditor Randy Graepner, and we're talking about the upcoming
Sales tax.
Sales tax levy. I keep wanting to call it an income tax.
It's not that.
Sales tax.
Yeah, okay. So there's plenty of people out of the county that will be helping to pay this.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's and part of it. I don't have a good percentage for it.
No, I don't know how you find. I don't know how you figure that. Now, you could almost figure it on cars and huge percentages like that, but there's just, you know, with certain stores and big items or businesses that sell large items like cars and things like that, those, you know, you're talking a 50 cents on $100, but you're talking $50 on $1,000. And $500 on $10,000. So when you start selling those $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $70,000 items, now that starts bringing it in. And you're going to pay it somewhere if you're going to buy that. So if we bring people from out of the county to buy those items, they may have to pay the sales tax in their own county. I don't know exactly how that goes.
Most of the time, those
kind of things. The more businesses we have, especially the ones that bring people from out of town, and with the lake we get a lot of people from out of town, that's money that we're not spending, but we're getting to use.
And some of those people that visit the lake in the summertime get to use the jail.
That's true.
But we won't talk about that. It ends up costing them.
Yeah.
So, one thing I did want to touch on. And Randy, you'd mentioned that that we did see a slight blip in the sales tax back in 2009 when we went through the 2008 recession. Mm-hmm. So with things are the way they are right now, what type of a percentage could you reasonably suspect that to drop if we go through something similar?
It'd be purely a guess on my part, Jack. Okay. We had, for instance, during the pandemic, there were 2 months in 2020, April and May, that actually declined. And we lost 19% in one of the earlier month and 5% the following, and then increased over the prior year. Every month after that.
Yeah.
And we wound up in 2020 having an increase in overall sales tax revenue. But, you know, our taxpayers here in Mercer County tightened their belt immediately.
Sure.
And that's
part of it was because they couldn't go anywhere.
Well,
but
of course.
Also, you didn't know what was going on, and you want to hang on to what you have. So, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
It's all the unknown.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the big deal.
Well,
we don't know what's going to happen with our economy over the next several years. It just depends on which economist you listen to or read on the internet.
But I think it's important to point out, though, that barring anything catastrophic, okay, that the budget from a county standpoint, if there is a recession that's forthcoming, the county would be much more able to adjust to the loss of the sales tax income versus
if people quit spending money. You mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Versus not having
the sales tax levy.
Yes.
Perfect. That's exactly right. We are in excellent financial shape. We, over the past several years, were able to increase the county credit rating with Moody's to the highest level that we can possibly get. When I came into office, we had had basically the same credit rating since around 1970s. In there someplace when Moody's first started rating us. And I felt then that we were as high as we could go. Well, our financials improved dramatically from the 20-teens. And 1 year, I just flat out asked Moody's, if we aren't as high as we can get, why not? Our financials are excellent. And they took a look, and indeed, they gave us the higher rating. We have some unwritten policies in Mercer County about a type of carryover that we must maintain, and that's all part of the rating process. But we could sustain about 1 year, but we can't go 2 years.
Yeah.
So we would have to have dramatic cuts. Those cuts, if we take 22% across the board, some people are going to be a little more, others are going to be a little less. But if we have to sustain a 22% decline, that means reduction in services.
Yes, in every department.
Correct.
Well, so the courthouse may have to shut down for a few hours more every day, or and the one that I keep talking about is the county roads, because that's what we'll notice. Bridges won't get repaired, roads won't get repaved, but things won't get taken care of, the ditches won't get mowed as often, and people will notice those things pretty quickly. We don't want that. We like how things are going. We like that our county is being well taken care of.
But, you know,
what do you say, buddy?
You know, I think as like we look at Mercer County, you know, and, you know, we live where we live and we enjoy what we enjoy because of the environment that we raise our kids and grandkids in, you know. And we feel safe, we feel proud of what we have, and to risk losing a part of that because of a sales tax that's already in place and we're just wanting to continue it, just doesn't seem to be the right move for Mercer County people right now.
I think that's how we feel it. As the county treasurer says, it's a quality of life issue.
Yes.
You know, do we want to maintain the quality of life that we have?
We don't want to go backwards.
Right. If we want to maintain it, then it's not additional. It's just keep doing what we're doing.
Yep.
Seems
pretty easy.
Yeah, if we don't do that, then the quality of life, it might take a little bit to see it, but you'll see the quality of life starting to drop.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think you've done a hell of a job explaining this. So let's talk about the Department of Homeland Security.
I think we're out of time.
You know, you're allowed to say no comment.
Something. Friends of Mercer County on Facebook. If you're out there and your listeners are tuned in, go check out Friends of Mercer County. We have some restrictions as elected officials that we can't talk about, but Friends of Mercer County can talk about it. And we would hope that you folks are getting ready to talk about it as well. So if you'd like to take a look, or call my office, call me, I'll get the information, whatever questions anybody out there might have. We will answer those questions. If it's budgetary questions, I have all his, but he might be able to add something to the conversation to better explain where the money is coming from and going.
Fantastic.
Right. So, yep.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, now let's drill him on everything we can find out about the Homeland Security incident yesterday.
Yeah, so what the hell's going on?
How much can you tell us?
That's a good question.
How much are you allowed to tell us?
I can tell you that we assisted Homeland Security with executing a federal search warrant. So it wasn't local, it was their investigation.
How much lead time did you have to know about this?
About 10 days.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like they called you at 2 in the morning?
No.
That day? Okay.
No. The Homeland Security group to come down here, they were very good to work with. We gave them office space. We did, for a couple of days, we did a little surveillance for them. They did some of their own surveillance down here, too. And we assisted them with the search warrant by, they wanted, you know, a couple of marked cars down there so that it, and a lot of times when federal agencies come in, they want us to be there because it gives them legitimacy, you know, because they're, our guys are in uniforms, or a lot of my guys are, and our cars are marked and people know who we are. So when they see our cars, they go, okay, this probably isn't a hoax. So that's what we did, was we assisted them with that. We went to a briefing with them on Monday night, where we met with them out of town. They briefed us on how they wanted to execute the search warrant, what they were going to do, how they were going to do things. So we were all in the loop on that. And then on Tuesday morning, we had our people there, and we just assisted them in executing the warrant. And then they had been up, that they had agents from all over the country that came in. And so some of them, you know, were tired and up. So they asked me, because we typically don't hold federal prisoners. But they asked me if they could put him in our jail overnight so they could get some rest. So we held him overnight, which to me is no different than if a deputy stops somebody that's wanted for a federal crime today, we're going to put them in our jail overnight till they come get them tomorrow anyway. So to me, that wasn't a big deal.
So how many was there? Two of them?
That was arrested, one.
One.
Just one.
Male or female?
Male.
Male.
And
right. Was it animal?
Well, we don't talk about other agencies' cases, and so we'll let them release what it was all about when they're ready to release that. I can say we did find some things where we then initiated an investigation. So the person that was arrested on a federal crime. There's a possibility that we're going to arrest somebody else on a... The sheriff's office, while we're county, we enforce state law, so a state crime. So we're looking into whether... And we've got some stuff at the lab and things like that before we decide whether we have enough to file charges or whether charges should be filed. And the county prosecutor will be involved in that. The same as... In their federal case, we talked to the U.S. attorney, you know, so we talked to the county prosecutor, they talked to the U.S. attorney.
And so they've left the premises and are now heading towards Leavenworth or wherever the hell they go.
Well, they go to Toledo. Toledo holds federal prisoners. And, I mean, there was the Homeland Security agents that flew in from all over the country.
So was this person... originally from around here or from somewhere else that happened to move to Bim's Landing?
He was from someplace else and happened to move here. And they've been tracking him in other jurisdictions.
Okay.
I mean, he's got more problems coming than what he had here. And I also say this, and this is something, I mean, we try to get along with our federal partners. Sometimes I think there's a little overkill. No. We would have investigated this thing with two deputies and two detectives. I mean, it's and
but if they've been chasing him a while,
right?
But maybe they needed to, but just be 100% sure.
Yeah. All these people coming in, what it does is it concerns our community.
Sure.
Now I've had questions from the community, and I'll tell you this about their case, our case, whatever. It's not terrorism related. And nobody, citizens of our community, are not at risk from this. They weren't at risk from this prior to him being arrested. I mean, you know, people see Homeland Security, and then with all the crazy stuff going on in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and
Homeland Security means it's somebody trying to blow up the world.
Right.
That's what we think.
That's what everybody thinks. And that is not what this was. People in Mercer County... We're not and are not at risk, at least from this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I was pretty sure I saw Tommy Lee Jones up at Casey's.
At Casey's.
And the other thing I'll say, because I did hear this too went from people when I was going, this has absolutely nothing to do with January 6th.
Okay.
So it's not it's not a January 6th thing. It's a...
Awesome.
So all this stuff that you've been blabbing about tonight, the most important question, are the Bengals dead?
Hey, the Bengals won Sunday.
They play tomorrow.
They're on a hot streak.
They have a big one.
I know. And, you know, it kind of hurts, but they're coming around now. We still need a line. I mean, I'm afraid Joe Burrow's going to get hurt. Either that or he's got to get rid of that ball a whole lot faster.
Yeah. But,
so. You going down tomorrow?
Nah.
Nope.
No. We haven't been down to a game. We gave up our season tickets the year the Bengals were in the playoffs. And remember that night game with Pittsburgh when everybody was throwing bottles and fighting and it got out of control? That just irritated me. And then I had grandkids, and it's more fun to be home yelling at the TV with the grandkids and listening to them yell too. But, you know, I got a daughter-in-law. Love her to death, but she's a Browns fan.
Good girl.
And I'm afraid that she's corrupting my grandson.
Uh-oh.
You know, we're kind of having this happen. Little battle there.
Yep.
Bound to happen.
I got a son-in-law, a Pittsburgh fan.
Well, Jeff and Randy, I tell you what, I really appreciate you being on. Always learn a lot when, you know, you guys come on. For those listening, get out there and vote November 8th.
Yep.
This is not a new tax. It's important to kind of remember that. It's not a renewal. It's just a continuation of the previous sales tax. So for Jack Stogler, stay tuned for Rocker. I think Rocker's going to come and share his... Let's see, what the hell you call it, Rocker?
On this day in pop culture history.
Oh, jeez.
On this day in pop culture history.
Jeez.
So, we'll be back right after this.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Did you realize the Fed is highly considering moving short-term interest rates up for operating money with 5 to 7/4% increases this year? No, it's not the end of the world, but planning is definitely imperative. And these costs will be passed down to you without a careful review and plan. Come visit me today for a review of your plan and your business. Have a chat with someone that puts you first. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at CSG Consulting in Fort Recovery. 419-852-4049.
Hello, this is Mary Diller, co-chairman of the One of a Kind Auction. The One of a Kind Auction is an annual event held in Fort Recovery that raises funds to support our local museum, Project Recovery, and the Historical Society. This year's event will be held on Sunday, October 23rd, with a theme of Christmas in October. It is a perfect opportunity to get an early start on Christmas shopping and support local historical organizations at the same time. Items at this year's auction include destination trips, musical events, fashionable purses and jewelry, toys, Christmas decorations, unique handmade items, an ultimate Christmas package that includes all you need for a Christmas party, including Santa, and so much more. So come to spend the evening with us on Sunday, October 23rd at 5 p.m. at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School. Tickets are $10 per person and are available at the BU Boutique or contact me through Facebook. We hope to see you there. Happy holidays.
Ready?
I never heard it.
I did. Just moving your chair. There you go. The lady that sat there last week had that, and I moved the chair, but then we moved all the chairs around in the studio, and it ended up right
there. I was just my hips.
Yeah, it is. Titanium?
Titanium. Hey, Rocker.
Howdy, Jack.
I missed you.
Well, I did, too. I missed maybe 1 week out of the month.
Yeah.
But Jack was gone, too.
Did I tell you that I went to Denver, Colorado?
See the Broncos?
No, but I stayed like a block from Coors Field.
Well, that's nice.
It was nice.
Did you have a Coors in the court?
I had a Coors, but not at the field. What a neat place, though.
Nice. It looks like a nice park.
Yep. Pretty cool. So what do you have for us tonight?
On this day of pop culture history, brought to you by WD-40.
WD-40. Okay. So because of Jack's chair, I mean? Chair.
Tuesday, September 27th, 1954. Something I'm guessing some of you might remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
The first Tonight Show starring Steve Allen aired.
Well,
that's before my time.
Yep, I didn't stay up that late in 1957.
54.
Oh, I was four. We didn't have a TV.
Who was Steve Allen married to?
Mrs. Allen.
Gracie. She was married Gracie to... Allen. Yeah. No, she's married to the gal on the Honeymooners.
Who was?
Not Alice, wasn't it?
Alice. What? And her name was?
Ooh.
Mary...
Nope. No.
Sounds like...
Give me a hint. I think I can get it.
This is...
I don't have a clue.
Oh, jeez.
You had nothing, did you?
I got nothing. Okay.
So was it really the lady on the Honeymooners?
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh.
He was married to the gal from...
Okay, go ahead, Rob.
1956, thank God. Milburn Abt becomes the first man to exceed Mach 3.
Who was it?
Milburn Abt. Yeah, not a household name, sorry, folks.
Nope.
Not exactly Neil Armstrong here.
Nope. Thought or John Glenn.
Thought I'd give her a shot.
Or what's the other guy's name?
In today's news.
Oh, boy.
Beep, 1981 Physical by Olivia Newton-John is released, selling 2 million copies.
The first day?
That was really not. Out of all of her music, that is my least favorite song.
Let's get physical.
Yeah.
Physical.
Yeah.
Wow.
A little too disco for me.
Bubba still puts his headband on and his tights when he does his workout video.
I would not want to see that, by the way.
What's that?
Would you want to put that tape out?
I got copies for $9.95.
And you got ripped off. Area birthdays.
Oh, area birthdays. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to limit.
Is this Tuesday or is this still Tuesday?
No, both.
Okay.
Kurt Deppold. We got Karen Berkey over at the Cal Pharmacy.
Yep.
And we got Tori Lennertz today.
Yep.
Today.
Yep.
And Kyle Wendell.
Oh, happy birthday, Kyle.
And as you guys requested, our citizen of the day.
Yes.
What we all know, Chuck Roar.
All right.
Chuck Roar. Why?
Why not?
Why?
Because he does everything for everybody.
He sucks. Well. Courtney Roar. Her birthday. Hey, her
yeah. Birthday. Yep.
Celebrity birthdays.
I think that meant let's move on.
Tuesday, I want to get these boys on.
You don't accept criticism well, Rocky.
I just deflect it. It's easier that way. Sean Cassidy turns 64.
All right.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream.
That's David.
When all at once I wake up at something that keeps knocking at.
Partridge Family.
He was backup. Yeah. He's backup for David Cassidy. He played bass guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he a poster guy or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Teen Idol. Gwyneth Paltrow turns 50.
Gwyneth?
About time.
I know what song too.
She didn't sing.
Cruising.
Oh, yeah.
On a Sunday afternoon.
No. Just cruising.
It is cruising, right?
Yes, it is. The old, she sang it with Harry.
Swayze.
No, Harry.
Belafonte.
No. Huey Lewis.
Oh.
Who?
Huey
That's
Lewis.
Right.
There's some news.
Yeah, right.
They don't give this job to chimps.
No.
Well, I think they might have.
Avril Lavigne turns 38.
I know that. I know what she sings.
A lot of songs. A lot of good songs.
Why do you make things so complicated?
That's beautiful.
That is pretty.
Thank you. You're acting like someone else makes me frustrated.
Couple of squirrels got molested on that one. Today's birthdays. Bridget Bardot turns 88.
Brigitte.
In her day.
She was it.
Adrienne Barbeau. Maud.
Not even close.
Uh-huh. And the thing.
Brigitte Bardot.
The thing and Adrienne. She's hot.
Mira Sorvino turns 55.
Professional tennis player.
Yep.
And Naomi Watts is 54.
Who's that?
Naomi Watts.
Her what? Naomi's what?
Naomi what?
54. Naomi Watts.
Oh, Watts. Watts, you said. A.J. Schellenberger.
For A.J. Today.
Ah.
42.
That's hard to believe, ain't it?
It is. He's 18.
Well, I figure he's about Brent's age, right? Was he?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess you're going to talk about this later, but what was the initial line on the Ohio State-Wisconsin game?
I think 24, 27.
Well, I would have thought it'd been, well, it probably covered the spread then, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because I thought that was going to be a tighter game.
Huh?
Yes, I thought that was going to be a tighter game. Of course, I guess it was played at Columbus. I mean, I thought they would have.
Do you like the Buckeyes uniforms?
I didn't see them. I didn't see that game, but I saw.
What were you doing that you didn't see the game?
I had a class reunion.
Hey, I seen that.
Oh,
congratulations.
Yeah. Class of 92, is that right?
Yep. We took care of some alcohol.
Did you? Did you get drunk?
No.
Any girls get their floppers out?
No floppers.
Nope, no floppers. Any guys get their floppers out?
No. Whoa. Thankfully not.
Good time. Reminisce?
A lot of that.
Yeah.
Old Butsy was out there.
Butsy.
He made her in.
Carrie Beaver.
Who traveled the furthest?
I would say Barb Hall, probably.
Barb Hall?
Where'd Barb live?
Tampa.
Oh.
And they was going, stayed up here for a while.
And they was going back, too.
Yeah.
Hopefully not today.
Well, Tampa's all right, ain't it?
I don't know.
I think Tampa's
depends on where it hits, but yeah. Big storm surge.
Boy, that looks bad down there, though,
yeah.
Don't it?
Yeah, it does.
So. That's where we're all at.
Yeah, we're done.
Vacation. When we go down, we're on us three in Naples.
Yep.
Our place is under.
Yep, probably.
How is that again?
Probably a good chance.
Our pools are full.
Yes.
Did you ask Jeff Gray why it failed the first time?
Nope.
I think probably because we had 10% voting.
Low voter turnout?
Yeah. Primary didn't. Since they didn't have the county commissioner and that kind of stuff on there, they. A lot of stuff. They didn't have anybody show up, really, basically.
Yeah, but I would think that the people who vote...
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to say... No. If people understand it, it won't be in trouble at all. And that's why they're going around trying to make sure people understand it. They're at the community club last week. I think they've been to just about every civic group in the county to explain to them what they explained to us tonight. So,
and this is pure speculation.
Yes.
I think that they had a former county commissioner that wasn't necessarily on board and didn't do him any favors.
That might be.
Yeah.
You won't mention any names, though, will you?
Nope.
So this guy they picked up, Lucas Van Wart?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know what the deal was on that Homeland Security, but it had something to do with animals.
Really?
Rumor.
Cockfights?
Dogs? Dog breeders?
Dog racing?
I don't know.
Talk about that. You're going to hear a lot of that this weekend, buddy.
Oh, Sportsman's Club. Yeah.
Trader Days. Trader Days. Buying dogs.
There's
how many dogs you can buy?
There tonight.
Oh, yeah. There's campers. There's campers there yesterday. Yep. Yep.
You going? They start tomorrow, no doubt. You ain't going?
I've never been to that ever.
Well, you need to get there.
Tenderloin. Dog, how's the dog sound?
Wow.
I'll pick you up.
So, for insight, stay tuned. For
Jack, are you going?
Yeah. I
have to be there bright and early on Friday morning.
1996.
I'll be there bright and early Friday morning helping Roger make breakfast at the Top Lunch Stand.
You got breakfast?
Yeah, we're doing. Oh, yeah. They do breakfast at the Top Lunch Stand. He has a group of people. I can't be there Saturday afternoon because we got the Crestview Invitational. I have no idea when I'll get back, so I can't tell him I can work. So I help him on that Friday morning.
So for insight,
who's on?
Why does the funeral home have pink lights on? Breast cancer awareness.
Yes.
Oh, very good, Bobby.
October 1st.
Very good, Bobby.
Yep.
Who's on Sports Talk tonight?
Huh?
Who's on Sports Talk tonight?
Rocker.
Neil.
Neil and Rocker.
Rocker. Jack.
So, no actual guests then.
Talking about week 3 and Bubba's fantasy team.
How's that going, by the way?
Well, not as good as somebody sitting at this table. 3 for 3. We've won 3 weeks.
All right. Let's take a break and come back with Sports Talk before we cover everything before Sports Talk starts. Be back in just a minute with Sports Talk.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.